You are listening to another Screenfish One-on-One, this time live with director Aaron Schneider. Aaron is the director of the new film Greyhound, which stars and was written by Tom Hanks and tells the story of Commander Krause, a World War II commander given the impossible task of leading a convoy across the Mid-Atlantic Gap area known as the Black Pit. In this one-on-one, we get to speak to Aaron about helping Tom Hanks develop his passion project,
the relationship between yesterday and today in the film,
and what he learned from the experience. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Screenfish. Hi, Aaron. How are you?
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I got you. I am in Newmarket, Ontario, just north of Toronto.
Oh, cool. I love Toronto. I made a film there in 97. I got addicted to the Marché. Is the Marché, the big food market, still there?
Oh, man. You know your stuff. Yeah, I'm impressed. I love Marché.
I'd walk in there. I'd walk in and out 10 pounds heavier. I love that place. Great yeah. City.
I know that you've had a busy day, but I really do appreciate you talking to me about Greyhound. I absolutely loved Greyhound from start to finish.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a wonderful film. In fact, I think I said in my review, this is the first film I've seen since the pandemic that had me yearning for the theater. It was great that Apple TV took it on under their wing, but it really would have been lovely on that big screen.
I got the news. There's an article on Deadline.com talking about how we were a big hit at Apple and we broke all kinds of records for both movie and series viewership, and which is very satisfying because your goal, theater or not, your goal is to reach an audience, entertain them, and have people enjoy the film. And so the fact that it's doing well for Apple is very satisfying, knowing that there's all these people out there starving for something to watch and enjoy, a little distraction, something that moves them or excites them. And in a way it's kind of comfort, it's kind of nice to know that you're giving all these people something to enjoy in the midst of what we're going through.
Sure.
So that's a great feeling.
Yeah, I mean that is absolutely that would be the absolute plus side, is that you have such an audience right there waiting for you, and it's an incredible film. It deserves all those records broken. It's wonderful. I was wondering, what is it that excited you about being a part of the project?
Well, you get a hold of a Tom Hanks starring World War II script and the filmmaker in you gets excited right away. But what really drew me in was that Tom had written it. Not just the novelty of it, but I had made a short film early in my career called Two Soldiers, when I wanted to shift my career from cinematography to directing. And I threw my life savings in a bank account and adapted a William Faulkner short story called Two Soldiers. And it was a very kind of scary and bold and experimental time in my life. And it was fun. It was a little scary. But it's what I wanted to do. And it turned out great. It did its thing. And we were honored with an Oscar for our effort. And it was the beginning of my director's career. But when you're inside of it, though, you don't know any of that. And all you know is that you're trying something new. And so when I saw Tom's name as screenwriter, my first thought was, oh, my gosh, I wonder, yes, Tom Hanks is a big movie star, and yes, he's done it all. But I wonder if this is something new and a little scary and a little challenging for him, the way my film was. How cool would that be, that I could sort of help out a filmmaker like Tom, with something that's personal to him, with something that's new to him. Just the idea of helping a filmmaker do something different. That sounded like even more fun than just making a movie with Tom, and that's what it turned out to be. it was a passion project. He'd been sort of secretly, you know, building behind the scenes with his own, you know, over time, and when the mood struck him, and then he finally debuted it, and here it was falling into my lap, and so that was very exciting, and that's what drove me.
Yeah, I can see that it's definitely got to be a passion project for him. I know he was very familiar with the book, but it's interesting. Now, I haven't read Forrester's book, but my understanding is that it's a fiction book, but it is based on real situations.
Yeah, I've read where some people kind of wish it was true story, but as if somehow that would affect their enjoyment of the film. But the truth of the matter is, yeah, I started doing lots of research when I came on the project, and one of the first things I began to learn is that every ship in that convoy and every naval engagement, you know, is based on an actual event. You know, the drive-by of the sub, you know, there's a story out there about that happening and the guns not being able to tilt down far enough. And in the real life story, men even started picking up Coca-Cola bottles and potatoes and throwing it at the sub, which, as it turned out, somebody, recalling the event, said that the Germans thought the potatoes were grenades and it kept them from manning their guns. Right?
Really?
So, and then the Polish, or one of the destroyers in Greyhound, had a history. And I was doing historical research, and sure enough, I said, oh my goodness, C.S. Forrester has basically borrowed the history of this real life destroyer in terms of giving it its backstory in the book. And so it's a fictionalized story, a fictional character that uses, you know, many real life events and stories from actual battles as its, foundation.
Yeah, that's amazing. There's a heavy emphasis on atmosphere, I think, even as opposed to dialogue. There's a lot of dialogue flowing around, but I noticed that with the sound mixing, it's not muted, but it's almost overshadowed. I was wondering what it was, your goal for using the sound in that particular way.
It's all about point of view, isn't it? In everybody, sound, camera, visual effects, music. The challenge for the filmmakers at any point in time is it's about point of view. You can tell a story based on focusing on one point of view over another. You know, there's that great moment in the Normandy beach landing in Saving Private Ryan where a shell goes off near Tom's character and it blows his ears out for a moment, right? Mm. And all the battle fades away, and you're left. And suddenly, the sound design pushes you inside Tom's character's point of view of the battle, and that transitions into. And then visually, Spielberg transitions into, now that he's entered the ears of the character, then he transitions to the eyes. And as his ears ring, you look around and Tom looks around and he's taking in all these chaotic, horrific things going on around him, and then boom, a shell lands and jerks you out of it, right? Mm. And that's a great example of how both the camera and the sound can have a point of view in terms of what you're focusing the audience on. And so this was a big challenge in Greyhound as well. The movie, you know, he kind of sticks to Krause's shoulder, sticks to his point of view, his experience. He's a conduit. He's our way into everything. And that character is thinking or concentrating on one, you know, on all kinds of different elements throughout the film. And the goal in sound design, I think, is always to make sure that what your point of view in the sound design helps support the point of view of what the character's experiencing, right? Mm. And so, to answer your question, I'd say the sound design is trying to adhere to the same subjective point of view that the camera is, or that the story is. And then that boils down to balance and what you choose to bring to the foreground and what you choose to push to the background.
Speaking of Krauss, I found there was a fascinating reverence in this film for the soul. The concept of the soul keeps coming up. And you know, even at the end, it talks about 72,200 souls were lost forever, in making the cross or crossing the canal. I was wondering if you could talk about that emphasis and what, and how you felt that was brought out in the character of Krauss.
Right. Well, from the very beginning, Tom described this as the perfect 90-minute procedural. He wanted it to be a rip-roaring, experiential event for a viewer. He wanted to honor, you know, the idea was to honor and dramatize the experience of the Battle of Atlantic by dropping you off over Krauss's shoulder and without giving you anything to hold on to, and force you to follow him around and move through his experiences, in some cases, towards the beginning, without a full understanding of where you are and how things work, and that over time, you would engage with the film, educate yourself, acquaint yourself, get yourself more comfortable, you know, exactly the kind of experience you'd have if I beamed you aboard the USS Keeling and you found yourself in a foreign world in the middle of a very dangerous battle. And so in that sense, making the whole movie experiential, and Tom's character becomes the way in, the human conduit for the person following him around through all this. Like, I don't know what's going on, but this guy looks like he does, so I'm sticking with him, right? Mm. And so in that regard, you introduce this character up front, and you're in a very private moment praying and preparing yourself emotionally and spiritually for the day and for the job at hand, which we're not even sure we understand yet. But you get a sense of the kind of man you're going to be, you know, moving through this journey with. So now, knowing this about him, that he has he lives his life within a certain set of principles, and we get an immediate sense of what we can imagine he holds dear, right? And then, boom, all this stuff begins to happen. So in those little moments, those little private peaks we get inside his mind that maybe the crew doesn't absorb or get to see, we know enough about the man and what all these terrible things, these horrible things are. We know enough about him that we can begin to ask questions about the way he's feeling about this. And that's, you know, that's where the soul comes in. It's like you have to understand who a person is and what lives in their soul before you can kind of explore who they are and what any of this means to you. And it's not a classical drama in the sense that the screenplay has been written to evoke, you know, there's no soliloquies announcing who this man is or how he feels. The only way into that is what you can pull away, what you can learn about him, what you can derive from the way he's making these decisions. And so in that sense, getting to know the character is experiential. Mm-hmm. You only get to learn as much about this guy as you're willing to study and pull out of it. You have to do a little bit of work if you want to know this man. Mm-hmm. And the goal there is to sort of engage an audience in their curiosity about who he is. You know, we see him kill his first 50 soldiers. The ship is cheering, but he's staring out at these floating dead bodies as a man of faith, and he's confronting the irony of having to kill. You know, he's got a job to do. He's got to protect. He's got to serve, but he's got to do something that's in conflict with his nature and his spiritual principles. And so if we've done our job right, we've created a moment there where you're empathizing with his internal struggle. And now you put that in your back pocket and you move forward to the rest. And so, you know, it's an exploration of somebody's soul moving through these horrific events.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. And you're right. You say that your way into the character is sort of this moment. There's a real sense of immediacy in the film, other than the opening scene with him at dinner with, I think it's Elizabeth Shue. There isn't a lot of backstory that we're given about Krauss or these characters, but there is this sort of sense of immediacy. And I think the comment comes up a few times. You even quote, in quoting your scripture that you pick, is yesterday, today, and forever. And I think one of the lines that said later is, what you did yesterday got us to today. I was wondering why you felt that sense of immediacy was so important to bring out in the story.
Well, from the beginning, as a screenwriter, Tom was trying to explore, he was fascinated with the feeling of what he called stasis. You know, looking back at World War II, you know, it has a beginning, a middle, and an end. Hmm. But if you can try for a moment to imagine the world shortly after we entered the war, where the entire world was on fire, you know, in a fist fight with itself. Nobody knew who was going to win. Nobody knew what their fate would be, and nobody knew when it would end. Right? And in many ways, without even knowing it would occur, we're living in similar times with the pandemic. We were fighting this war against this virus, and nobody really knows where we're going and how long it'll take. And it's a disquieting feeling. But the best you can do inside of all that is maintain vigilance. And, you know, we got yesterday, we got today, and we're going to have tomorrow. And you hold on to that. And what Charlie, his XO, is trying to say in that moment is that the goal is to keep going.
Hmm.
Yeah. Right? That's the trick. He's trying to remind him that, you know, the goal is to keep going, and what you did yesterday got us here. Now let's do it again, right? But Krauss is struggling with that. Krauss wants to succeed. He's got his eye on the end. He doesn't know where it will come, but he's fighting for the end. And there's Charlie trying to remind him that the battles are won in the moment. It's about getting from yesterday to today. Because if you do that enough times, land will appear. And that's kind of where we are now in the world. Yeah. We'll get there.
You know, Aaron, just as we start to wrap up here, I know Tom has been to World War II many times on his career, it seems, or it feels like he has. But was there anything particularly that you learned from your experience of the film, or something that really impacted you?
Well, it was a crash course. You look back at the heroes of World War II, and you already know that they sacrificed. And, you know, you already honor the heroism, but it isn't until you get inside of it and you research it and your job is to dramatize what made that job so hard to do. It opens you up to all those things, the difficulties, the hardships, the challenges, the talent that it took, the commitment it took just to do the job, let alone win the war. And so I'd say that was probably the biggest lesson for me is submersing myself in this tin can, this ship, learning how it worked and learning all of its moving parts and how they had to work together to succeed. And, you know, that was probably the most meaningful lesson to me because it wasn't easy work. It's hard enough to risk your life, but the job itself, with such a challenge, it makes it that much more heroic.
Honestly, and I mean this genuinely, it is just a fabulous film. I highly recommend it. And it is available now on Apple TV Plus. I think that came out on Friday. Is that right?
Yes, it dropped a little bit early. The Apple surprised us. All of a sudden, I got a text from friends and family saying, it's on. And we were all expecting it at midnight. You know, Friday at 12:01 a.m., but it showed up, I think, 3 or 4 hours early, which was kind of exciting.
Well, it's wonderful. I'm really grateful for the chance to chat with you about it. Thank you so much, Aaron. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for helping get the word out. I hope everyone enjoys the film.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Have a great day.